What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Down Once More. Matt here, and this week I'm going to be doing a mini review of the 2024 national tour of Shrek the Musical. So I just saw it this past week. I saw it on opening night here in my town, and this is only the second city in this new production, the new tour. This was reworked fairly substantially by Janine Tesori and David Lindsay Abaire, who did the original Broadway musical, who wrote the music, the lyrics, the book, all that. It was their collaboration that brought this to the stage. They said now, 16 years later, it was time for them to kind of revisit it and revamp it for a new audience, modern audience. A little bit my backstory with Shrek, to be completely transparent. I did not see the original movie Shrek until about 4 years ago. I was not allowed to watch it growing up. My parents watched it to preview it when I was a child, decided that it was too crude. So I never saw it growing up. So I don't have a super strong bond to the original movie. I also don't know it very well. I watched it the one time and that's it. So I'm not going to be making a lot of comparisons to the movie and the musical on here. I also have not watched the full Broadway production, the original one, because it was filmed with Brian James D'Arcy, Daniel Braker, and Sutton Foster, all as Shrek, Donkey, and Fiona, respectively. There is an official pro shot version of that. I think that's streaming on Broadway HD, if I'm not mistaken. It was on Netflix for a decent chunk of time, but I never got around to it. I've seen clips and bits and pieces, but I haven't seen the whole thing. One of the big things on this new national tour, it has been scaled down significantly and intentionally. The creators did an interview with Playbill, and one of the things that they said was with this new tour, they wanted to be inspired by the oral storytelling of fairy tales and Hans Christian Andersen, how he did it himself, going into parlors, telling his stories, just using small things, little cutouts to kind of portray the characters. And so they want to be inspired by that and lean less on the grandeur and all the prosthetics and everything like that. Like if you saw that Broadway one, if you even see pictures, I'll insert some here on the YouTube, lots of heavy prosthetics going on. This one, it was created where it's, you see the people, there's the framing device, the people telling the story. And so it starts out with everyone just in their black leotards. Like if you've seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall when they're putting on the performance at the end of that of Dracula's, well, the song's Dracula's Lament, but I forget the name, A Taste for Love, I think is what the name of that musical was. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, fantastic movie. Anyways, everyone's in the full black head to toe outfits. And then as they start telling a story, certain actors put on certain costume pieces to transform themselves into those characters. You got Shrek is painted green, got his costume. You have Shrek, Fiona, Lord Farquaad. They have the most elaborate costumes of everyone going on. Donkey is essentially wearing a bike helmet that's covered in gray fur and ears. At first, this was kind of throwing me off and distracting that I'm like, this seems like a high school production because the set design, it does evoke the oral storytelling of people just putting something together haphazardly because it looks like painted cardboard. However, as the production went on, I grew to really appreciate this choice, and I thought it was really neat how they did it. And it also makes this a lot more accessible for people. Like they already have versions you can license, like a Shrek Jr. for kids, young adult version, things like that. This is just going to make it even more accessible for people to do productions and there not being such a massive chasm in the difference between things. Like the dragon in the Broadway version, there's a whole set piece and that's mechanical. And this, it's someone with just a pretty straightforward costume. And she did fantastic, the actress who played the dragon. Also, I have my playbill here. Shrek musical. New logo. Great. I love it. And it also evokes that just kind of the painted thrown on there. It's great. Fall in love all ogre again. I knew nothing about this going into it. Like I said, like I knew it was based on Shrek. I had not listened to the soundtrack at all. I had not watched any of the clips from the original Broadway. Like, that all happened since I saw it on Thursday night. And I was pleasantly surprised. I just, my own naivety, I went into it thinking it was going to be a jukebox musical, taking a lot of the songs that you get in the background from the soundtrack of the movie, and they were going to be thrown into here. It wasn't that at all. It's almost entirely, well, actually, this production is entirely original songs. In the Broadway version, it closes out with I'm a Believer, like the movie did. That's cut from this one. And I really enjoyed that. I would say the standouts to me were, I Know It's Today, which is Fiona's song, giving her kind of a little bit of her backstory. You have 7-year-old Fiona, teenage Fiona, and then the now, whatever, 27, the now grown up Fiona singing. And that song just going through what she's going through, being locked in the tower, waiting for a prince to come, all these fairy tales that she'd grown up on, trying to draw the comparisons and just the frustration with the waiting. And so good. Great performances. This cast, that's the other thing that I was going to say too. Like, yes, the aesthetics and everything may have caused it to look like a high school performance, but the talent of this cast was obviously Broadway national tour, like, level. So, main shout outs here. It's going to be the main three characters we got going on. So, Nicholas Hambrick as Shrek was absolutely fantastic. Now, from what I've seen, Brian James D'Arcy did a really good job. I like Nicholas Hambrick's interpretation of Shrek in this national tour. He was fantastic. Some of his credits, he was pilot on the Jesus Christ Superstar 50th anniversary tour. However, it was like the first leg of it. He wasn't the pilot I saw 3 weeks ago. That would have been an insane turnaround if he went from being doing Jesus Christ Superstar a few weeks ago to now doing Shrek the Musical as the lead role. Cicely Dione Davis, and I apologize, I might be butchering these pronunciations. They don't give you pronunciation guides in this playbill. It's really, really disappointing. They need to step that shit up. As Fiona was absolutely amazing. She crushed I Know It's Today, and she crushed just every line she had, every song she had. Like, one of the other big ones that she has is Morning Person, which is the act two opening number. She did so good at that. Great actress all around. And then Naftali Yaakov Curry as Donkey was outstanding. I feel like a lot of times, like, you see it from the Broadway one, and there's notes of it in here. Like, Eddie Murphy was so iconic in that role. So, of course, you're going to be doing a little bit of mimicking Eddie Murphy's performance. Made it its own, stole the scenes he was in, the emotion, just everything he did, how hitting the comedic timing of the lines, the physicality they brought to the role, so good. So good. So shout out to the entire cast, but especially those three people. I will say, if you've seen the Broadway one, going back and looking at some of the things and going through the soundtrack a little bit, because there is a cast recording of the Broadway album that is available to stream. There were songs cut from this version. There are also songs that replaced previous songs. So in the Broadway version, the song with Donkey and the Dragon is called Donkey Pot Pie, and that one didn't particularly grab me. The new song, Forever, was really good and a great number, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I thought some of the changes they made were improvements. There were some songs, like I said, some other songs cut out and changed. Donkey's original song from the Broadway one, the Don't Let Me Go, that's not in this. That's been reworked into something else. The one song, though, that truly blew me away that I was not expecting in this musical was Who I'd Be, which is the Act One closing number. And I don't know, I sometimes go into musicals, especially ones where it's my first time experiencing it, especially experiencing it live is something different. And there's occasionally experiences where a song just stands out and grabs me and holds on to me and affects me. I had it like one of those was, it was just listening to the soundtrack and watching George Salazar's performance. But Michael in the Bathroom from Be More Chill is one of those to me where it just, for some reason, it just resonated with me and really hit me and just ran that shit into the ground, but not to the level that it like got tired of me. Like, it's still on my playlist. It's still one of my go-to songs because it's just so powerful in the message. Just something just makes you feel something when you listen to it. And Who I'd Be was that for me in this. So it's the song after Shrek. I guess spoiler alerts if you haven't seen Shrek, the movie, the musical, plot points essentially the same throughout them. So if you've seen the movie, you know it's going to happen in the musical, just slightly different. And like I said, all original songs, which are great. But Who I'd Be is after they rescue Fiona. And she sees that he's an ogre, and then she goes away, and then Shrek and Donkey are talking. And Donkey's like, well, isn't there anything you want to do? Isn't there anything you want to be? And it's Shrek kind of reflecting on, he's like, yeah, I guess I'd be a hero or a poet or a Viking and all these things and just singing them. And then about, but how as an ogre, it's alone. It sounds weird to say, but the performance Nicholas Hamburg did on this, and Ryan James Darcy did a really good job on, Brian James Darcy, it's Brian Darcy James, so apologies, retroactively, don't come at me, he did a really good job too, and you can see the recordings and versions of that on YouTube, and his performance of it, Nicholas Hamburg was so good as this, and it just grabbed me, like, I straight up was more like tearing up at moments of the song, which I did not expect to happen in Shrek the Musical. Now, in Act Two, that was quickly gone when at the end of I Think You I Got You Beat, there is about a 2-minute burp and fart battle between Shrek and Fiona. So they did keep that level of humor in the musical. It was mostly confined to that song, but I don't know. I appreciate a good fart joke. Don't get me wrong, but that was just not just too much for me. But all the kids in the audience loved it, so kudos for that. And that's one of the things with this too. Like, similar to Aladdin, like, yeah, it's tailored towards adults. People grew up on it as well, but Shrek primarily is something. It's for kids. It's a story for kids. It's a fairy tale. Yeah, it's got that adult humor thrown in there too. And this one, it had some powerful numbers, like Who I'd Be, and I Know It's Today. And I really enjoyed this musical. The cast is, you know, fantastic. I think if you have the opportunity, you should go see it. They're just starting the national tour now. Like I said, we were the second city on it. So you could tell, and I saw it on opening night too, which is one of the downfalls I have with my season tickets I get. I chose opening night because I'm like, that way I know I'm not going to have something else going on, so I don't ever have to miss a performance because I can see it on Thursday night. But sometimes they're still working out some of the technical kinks. So there were a couple moments where the mics weren't turned on yet for the performers, right? So the first few lines, the first few words of their lines would drop off and you'd miss it. Little minor things like that, but not enough that it took me out of it. The biggest thing that took me out of it, and I don't know if this was intentional planned or if there were some delays and difficulties that went on, but after, so what happens at these shows? The director, their executive director, always comes out and announces the play, thanks sponsors, things like that. And then it usually goes into like the overture and starting the musical. And that's when the lights dim and everything. He thanked the sponsors. The house lights all stay on full blast. And oh, another thing with this, they have it reworked where it's just a small, like 6-person orchestra band on the in the back of the stage, like on stage. They don't have the orchestra pit filled or anything like that. It worked really well for it. They all did a great job. I like some of the changes they did from the Broadway version, and it was really cool. But after the executive director did his thing, they played a little ditty. It wasn't a traditional overture. No overture. It was just like a little song little almost elevator music like song that they were playing, house lights fully up. And this song, I don't know how long it actually lasted. It seemed like it lasted like 5 minutes with all the house lights on and everything. And then someone came out and gave an announcement about the show you're about to watch, not to record pictures, like someone from the cast. Like they usually do that. Like in Hamilton, it's the King, was it King George, that he's doing it. Thank you for coming to my show and things like that. People love it. And they did that. And then that's when the house lights dimmed. But it was just weird sitting there when the band started playing, because there's no closed curtain when this play starts. Like you walk into the theater and you see everything set up already. You see the set pieces. So you have a long time to take in, and I'll insert a picture in here. I believe I took a picture when I was there of just kind of what the stage looks like and sets up. And so you'll get the high school theater vibes that I'm talking about. But like I said, by the end, I thought it was very charming, endearing. I liked that they went that route. I liked how they reworked this. Like I said, I have not seen the whole Broadway thing. I don't have a certain affinity for Shrek. Maybe if you do, this won't be for you. You like the original story, all that, and you like it for everything it is, and you don't need it turned into a musical. That's fine. For me, I enjoyed this musical production more than I enjoyed the movie when I watched it. That could be because the movie, everyone had been hyping it up to me for years, and I watched it and I'm like, eh. But this, I went in with lower expectations and I was pleasantly surprised. So if you have the chance, go see this tour. Like I said, they're going to a ton of cities. It runs through, I mean, right now they've added dates through August, pretty much every weekend through August. Next stop, after this episode comes up, they have one night in Tucson, then they're in Phoenix, Arizona this weekend, then they're Wyoming, Colorado, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, going all over the place. And they're actually going to Canada, Toronto, in August 6th through 18th, a long-ass run in Toronto. So if you have the chance, go see this show. At least at my stop, they're doing cheaper rush tickets 2 hours before the performance. So I get Broadway shows can be expensive if you want to go see them, especially ones if you want to take the kids to see a family. And I think there's no reason not to take the kids to this. How they did the production, it's pretty family friendly. They cut out some of the original Broadway had some problematic lines in it that didn't age so great from 16 years ago. And they made changes to that. So it was a really fun show. I think kids will love it. I think if you like the movie, I think you will appreciate it. Go see it for Who I'd Be, if nothing else. I get that's a lot of money to spend to see one song, but Who I'd Be is going to be on my rotation for a while. I've been loving that song. I've been listening to it a lot lately. So that is my review of the 2024 revamped North American tour of Shrek the Musical. Now just some quick general podcast updates. Next episode is, we're not doing the Matilda review. You have to wait till the end of March for that. But Brad and I did record an episode of Shut the Fuck Up, our super fun Finish the Lyrics game show. So that will be coming out next week. We did do some on-the-fly tweaks to rules, bonuses, lifelines, things like that. So it's a little bit chaotic, but it was a lot of fun. Lots of great moments. I don't want to overhype it, so I'm going to stop. But there were some shocking things that happened in that episode. So make sure you tune into that. Follow us on YouTube. If you're not already, go subscribe, like, comment, share, all that fun stuff on there. Also, you listen anywhere, your favorite place to listen to podcasts. We're there. Amazon, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Pandora. I think we're on Pandora. We're supposed to be on Pandora. So if we're not, let me know and I'll dig into it. But I'm about to crash for like a week, be traveling. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you all. Love you all. Thank you for watching, listening, commenting, liking, sharing, everything like that. Stay sweet. Don't forget to go down once more. Later.